Speak your mind with your online group. Build a better group. Use the newest voice conferencing service available. TalkShoe. Talk with everyone. TalkShoe. That's TalkShoe.com.
TalkShoe. Recorded live.
Welcome to episode 5 of WordPress Weekly. I am your host, Jeff Rowe. I'm also the webmaster behind the blog, JeffRowe2.0.com. Our disclaimer is that WordPress Weekly is not affiliated with WordPress or Automattic in any way. I just happen to be a fan. If you would like to participate in today's show, either voice your opinion through the TalkShoe web client, or you can use Skype out or a telephone and dial the number 724-444-7444. The TalkCast ID is 34224. Now, you don't need a TalkShoe account to participate. Simply follow the directions given to you via the audio prompt to make an anonymous call. With that out of the way, let me just start by saying this week, boy, I had a big headache. I've been wanting to give my blog, jeffro2.0.com, a redesign. I wanted to make it look a little more modern because the old design kind of looked 1990-ish, if you know what the web looked like back then. You know, kind of like blocky and borders and all that jazz. So I spent the majority of my weekend working on a new redesign, and I'm finally happy to announce that it is all done. And if you visit jeffro2.0.com, you should see that I've completely replaced the page navigation area with icons, and these icons actually come from an icon patch called Ruby Extended. You know, I blog about icon packs all the time, and I said, you know what, I'd love to be able to use these icons somehow, and turns out I finally discovered a use for them. And so I've done that. I've kind of redone the look of the content, the design of the top area of the site, and overall I'm just really pleased with the way the new site looks, and I hope you are too. If you discover an error or it doesn't look right in your browser, just contact me via the contact form and I'll try and get that squared away. So with that being said, let's get on with today's show, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. And joining us today is our always dependable Ronald Eureka. Ronald, what's going on today, buddy?
Not a whole lot, just writing posts, working on plugins, stuff like that.
Anything new?
Well, I'm about to release my comment sorter plugin. That's about it.
The comment sorter plugin. Well, we'll be sure to give you some time to plug that later on in the show. First time guest appearance. All the way from Northern Europe, and I don't know if this is how you pronounce it. It's Latvia, but I'll go ahead and let him tell me how to say it. Kaspers, how you doing tonight?
Well, hi. I'm doing great. Thank you. It's great to be here as well.
So what time is it in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, it's 4 in the morning, and I'm already up.
I tell you, there's no better way to start the morning than to talk about WordPress on a live talk cast.
Yeah, but you have to start one time, so this is the first time.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming on to the show, and looking forward to your opinions.
Yep, thank you.
And back with the accent that everybody loves, it's Andrew Rickman from wpfun.co.uk. Did I get that right?
You did, yeah.
Okay. So, how's it going, Andrew? Anything new in your neck of the woods? What's been going on?
Oh, so much new. To be honest, I'm just trying to find time to actually finish something. I've got about 4 or 5 things that I've kind of half started. So, you know, they'll be new eventually, but right now they're just kind of in the mix.
Okay. Well, let's see. Let's start with our first piece of news this week. And that is an article that Josh Byers posted And he basically highlighted some plugins that you could install into WordPress that would give WordPress the oomph that is, I don't know if it's often presented out of the box or whatnot, but apparently some plugins that turn WordPress kind of more into a CMS, a content management system. And I don't want to get into an argument that we seem to get into every week as to whether WordPress is a CMS or not. So let's not discuss that part of the equation. But Josh Byers posts some plugins, and those plugins are a custom admin branding plugin so that basically the login page that you use to log into your WordPress account on someone's website. This allows you to customize that area and give it its own unique look instead of the default blue WordPress brand. A plugin called Clutter Free. The plugin allows portions of the WordPress interface to be hidden that your client won't use. Custom admin menu. This is a brilliant plugin that allows full customization over the menus and submenus in the WordPress administration area. You can create new menus and reorder and relabel existing ones. Then you have the custom right panel, which I thought looked pretty interesting. In general, it allows you to create your own custom fields in the right section. In reality, you are creating an entirely new writing section in which you can choose specific input fields to display. And let's see, there's Fresh Post. This plugin is an offshoot of the custom right panel. The Fresh Post plugin is essentially the same as the custom write panel, but has added the ability to upload files and images. Then you have the Dagon Design Form Mailer. It allows you to create custom forms and have the data emailed back to you. CForms 2, Dashboard Editor, Image Manager, One-Click Installer, which is an awesome plugin. This plugin simplifies and speeds up the process of installing these plugins and more. Essentially, you just browse to the plugin file, which is usually a zip file, and it unpacks and puts everything in its right place automatically when you upload it. Then you have your post template and Search Everything. And I'll be honest, I tried to install Search Everything on my blog, and I couldn't get it to function properly. But an awesome list of plugins that, I would have to agree, if you installed all of those plugins on your WordPress blog, you would have quite the CMS competitor, if you wanted to call it that. Did anybody have a chance to check out this article?
I did. And one of the things I was hoping for when I read it was something about permissions and roles, something that I think WordPress lacks as a CMS if you want to compare it to that. So, I mean, one of the things I really would like to see is more control over what users see when they go to the back end. And I didn't see that in this article, but there are some very nice plugins mentioned.
Now, I'll agree with that. I haven't come across an easy way to kind of assign roles and permissions. I mean, I know there's various roles and classifications that you can give users in WordPress that kind of dictate what they can and can't access in the admin panel. But I think it'd be nice to see kind of a redesign or a plugin that kind of makes that whole process easier and kind of like a drag and drop or checkmark box where you can create your own user groups and you can place a user in that user group, and that user group would be assigned permissions that says, well, you can only access this, 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 and this, and this group can access this, 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 and that. So, I mean, is that kind of what you're hoping for?
Well, kind of like a plugin that'll say, okay, this user can only post to this category or edit this particular page. And I haven't seen anything like that.
Well, I know Chris24 in the chat room just posted a plugin or a project called Role Manager. So that might be what you're looking for. But I haven't been able to check that out, so I wouldn't be able to comment anymore on that. But Andrew or Casper, what do you guys think about this? Nothing. All right, let's move on.
Okay, I'll add my 5 cents. I've been using Drupal for like four years before I tried WordPress like 3 months ago. And they have this system of you can delegate, you can create user groups and delegate their own rights to do certain tasks in the system. But I must say that this is only needed for like a bigger complex systems and bigger websites. For a regular maybe group blogging, I think what the WordPress already has, I think it's enough.
And hey, that coming from someone who's been using Drupal for a while, I tend to agree. So moving on to our next topic, Laurel Van Fossen from Laurel on WordPress.com posted an interesting article about content theft and WordPress. And she basically goes over an article that kind of describes when you should or when you shouldn't contact WordPress.com or WordPress.org, and you know, if there's content theft taking place. Let's see here. She gives some clues to figure out if you should contact WordPress.com regarding content theft. Apparently, you should contact WordPress.com if the blog's URL is named at WordPress.com, if the blog's footer says blog at WordPress.com or the equivalent, if the Who Is report for the site lists WordPress.com and or automatic as the web host. You shouldn't contact WordPress or WordPress.com if the blog's URL does not include WordPress.com, if the Who Is report does not list WordPress.com or automatic as the web host, and if the footer says powered by WordPress, because if it says powered by WordPress, it's a self-hosted installation of WordPress, and automatic has no control over that. So, you know, my stance on content theft is, I guess, you know, you can contact people that's in charge of, you know, trying to take the content down, and you can contact them and try and tell them, hey, look, you know, you're kind of stealing my content, take it down. I don't authorize you to use it. But I mean, you've got your bloggers, your scrapers, your bloggers, and they're all using your RSS feed to kind of syndicate your content without you knowing it. But we all know usually provide a link to your post. I've seen a lot of excerpts of my post with randomly generated names of who wrote the post, but it always links back to me. And I don't know if you can really... I have this feeling that you really can't do anything about it. You kind of just have to roll with the punches, and you have to live with it. But I know Laurel, she's very passionate about this subject, and I know Jonathan Bailey is too, and they say, oh no, you can fight back, you can do stuff about this. So I don't know, have any of you guys had to deal with the issue of content theft, and if you have, what have you guys done about it?
I've had a ton of people just rip my content to shreds. I recently had a thing where somebody took my WP Extend plugin page and copied it verbatim and published it on another site. And I contacted the guy and I said, hey, I appreciate you linking to me and everything, but you're posting another download version for my plugin. Can you at least link to my original plugin file? That way I can support it in one place.
And what ended up happening?
Well, the page is still up. He did end up linking to my file, which is very nice of him. He didn't really have to do that since it's under Creative Commons. But it was basically a complete rip of the WP Extend plugins directory.
Let's see. New Media Pro has called in. New Media Pro, how you doing tonight? Who are you and where are you calling from?
Oh, come on, Jeff. You know me. You're just on my show.
I know, you're ruining, come on, man, you're ruining my show here, you're ruining my format.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
We were, I know twobeams.com uses WordPress, and we're just talking about the issue of content theft, and if anybody's ever experienced content theft, and if so, what have you done about it in order to fix the problem, if anything? I mean, have you ever experienced a problem such as people stealing your content?
There's been a couple of times off of my of all blogs of all my identity theft radio blog that I had things stolen off of that and used on other sites. and which I found that to be kind of ironic when you get right down to it. But in the end, when I contacted the person and said, hey, you know, this is my content, they did change and give me credit for it. So, you know, they made it right. But it, that doesn't make it right, but they did make it right in the end, though.
Now, you know, about these bloggers, these guys, or these scrapers, they just scrape up your content and they just post a link to it, and they have these little excerpts. I mean, everybody who blogs has to deal with these scrapers. What do you guys do about those?
I don't quite follow the scrapers, I guess, what you're talking about there.
When I say scrapers, I'm talking about, I don't know if you can classify scrapers and sploggers in the same category, but when I say scrapers, I'm talking about automated blogs that scrape the content via your RSS feed, and they post it on their blog as if they wrote it. And a lot of times, like in my case, I'll write up an article, and then I'll get like a trackback message that says some bogus site, and it takes an excerpt of my post, and it'll be some randomly generated name, like John or John Doe or some weird name, and it'll actually link to the full post that I've written on my blog, and it's not a legitimate link, and all they're doing is they're scraping my content, making it look like they wrote it. But you know, in my case, there's been very few times that I've ever seen actual websites or blogs or scrapers using my full article. A lot of times it's just a post excerpt, and that's not really too bad.
Hey, Jeff, what intellectual property is your content? Is it Creative Commons or?
You know, right now, I have no idea. But I've been meaning to look over the Creative Commons licensing, different ways of licensing your content, and I've been meaning to put a badge on my blog. I just haven't done it yet. So right now, it's free reign. If anybody wants my content, go ahead. No,
well, if you haven't posted anything that is copyrighted, under copyright protection, you can still file DCMA. But as far as people taking excerpts, I don't think there's anything really I can do about it. There's so many sites out there that do it.
I think it tends to fit into fair use where they do it, or at least what would commonly be termed fair use. So I'm not sure there's even anything you could do about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I hear people talking about scrapers and, you know, your sploggers, your content thieves, and, you know, I kind of just throw up a white flag and say, hey, look, you know, the only thing short of stopping these guys or preventing that from happening is to either not post or just turn off the ability to syndicate my content, and I can't do that because there's a lot of legitimate people that are subscribed to my feed. So I just kind of deal with it, and I block the trackbacks from being displayed on my site so they don't get a link to that site. And, you know, if it's just a post excerpt, it's not really a big deal. I mean, but if it was the full post, then I think you're dealing with some trouble.
One of the big things is I use a lot of iStock photography on my blog. So, you know, that costs money, and I have to pay. I mean, it's a copyrighted image. And if that person uses that image, then they're violating copyright of the photo. So it's kind of like a touchy situation in those cases.
All right. So I posted that article in the show notes. If you want to learn when you should or should not contact WordPress.com as far as content theft goes, Laurel has done an awesome write-up, and you can check out all her tips on that article. But moving on, last week at some point in time, or it might have been earlier this week, Matt Mullenweg stopped by in Utah for a little Utah WordPress meetup, and Rocky Mountain Voices had a chance to sit Matt down in a coffee shop, and the guy by the name of Brad Baldwin of Rocky Mountain Voices had a chance to interview Matt Mullenweg for about 12 minutes, and he asked all different kinds of questions related to WordPress.org, He talked about the Series B round of funding and what he plans on doing with that, the future of WordPress, and it was pretty interesting. I was watching the interview, and I heard him say that half the core of WordPress has been written by the community, meaning people outside of the core development team, and I thought that was pretty astounding. I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to watch the interview, but if you did, let me know what you guys thought. Did anybody get a chance to watch it?
I didn't get a chance to see it.
I did see it, and I think it was very interesting, at least for me, because I've never seen him speaking about the general plans of his company and how the separate ways they're developing this hosted version of WordPress and the one that everybody can use. So I think that it's interesting that they are planning, like, they have such a huge plans on expanding on different products instead of, like, what they used to, or we associate them with only the blogging and the forum and the new version of WordPress. But as he said, like in the near future, they're planning for other products and to develop them in the same way that they have the hosted version that, like, the general public can use, and then those who want to host themselves, they can use another one. And it's interesting how they have, like, they have the resources and knowledge to develop similar products that probably everybody will enjoy as much as they do with the WordPress.
Yeah, and what I thought was really interesting is I thought Akismet was just tied to WordPress, but in all actuality, they actually license out the technology, and a lot of your Web 2.0 social networks and startups are actually using Akismet. You know, as Chris24 knows, I think that's one of their major sources of revenue is licensing out Akismet. And so I just thought it was really interesting how much of a role the community and people outside of the core developers of WordPress play in the development of the open source content management system or blogging publishing system. Jeez, I'm going to get fired. So I've got a link to the video interview up on the site in the show notes. If you guys haven't seen it, be sure to check it out. It's a pretty interesting interview, and I'll tell you the truth, before this interview, except with the exception of his avatar, I didn't know what Matt Mullenweg looked like, and I didn't know what he sounded like either. So that was pretty interesting. But I also wanted to talk about a plugin I came across this week called Randomizer. Now, Randomizer is a WordPress plugin that could be put into your footer or could be put anywhere you want. And what it will do is every time your page is loaded with the plugin published on it, it will generate 10 random posts. So I thought that was pretty interesting because search engines love dynamic content. They love to see things change. And, you know, I think that's pretty cool. Every time you go to a website, you see 10 new articles that maybe you haven't seen before, or, you know, maybe one of them will catch your eye and you might get some more visitors to tap into your blog. And have any of you guys been able to check this plugin out? Maybe you guys have installed it.
Looking at the code right now.
You're looking at the code as we speak.
I've not installed it, but you know, I mean, it was something I was thinking about the other day, and it seems like quite an interesting thing. You know, I mean, I don't really care about search engines really, but I think it might be nice to extend that to just a straight up random post for everything other than the first post on the homepage.
Looking at the code, it doesn't look like it filters out any categories. So that's something I would like to see in the future for this plugin.
So you're saying you'd like to see 10 random posts, but from a specified category?
Or just to have certain categories not included. Like, I don't want people to see the news type post on my site.
I'm thinking about down on the bottom of my footer, in the footer of my blog, I have an area of 10 online generators, you know, links to different, like Fave Icon generators or random generators like that. I think I'm going to replace that with this plugin. So every time people go down to my footer, they see 10 links to blog posts they might not have ever seen before. I just think it's kind of interesting. You know, it's just one more way to possibly get a user or visitor to go deeper into your blog and check out some of the content they might not have noticed before.
I actually use a plugin called Random Post Widget by Eddie Romantica, and this one allows you to create a widget, which is basically you place it in a sidebar as opposed to the footer. And, well, I haven't seen if anybody has clicked, but I think it's pretty interesting. And you can limit the number of posts it displays there. So I put it 3, so not to be too much confusing. So probably just something similar as well.
Interesting. Ronald, does the functions in that plugin look familiar? I mean, would you be able to apply any sort of parameters, you think, out of the box to add category filtering?
It would take some editing, but it wouldn't be too difficult, I don't think.
Okay, well, I'm going to install that plugin, and if you come up with a way to filter categories, let me know. I might put that down there and, you know, play around with it. So anybody out there is looking for random posts to display anywhere on their blog, check out the Randomizer WordPress plugin. Moving on, Ronald once again lit a fire under everyone's butt by asking a question. It's a pretty simple question, actually, and it dealt with trackbacks. And what Ronald was wanting to know if trackbacks are still useful. And Ronald, I'll go ahead and let you give the basis of your question. Why did you ask this question? What was the reason behind this post?
Well, for one thing, it was an accidental publish, but because I wanted to do a little more research on it before it was live, but it got published anyway. So the reason behind the question is every time I get a trackback, I'm just thinking, okay, most of these are junk, and I think I get more information from Google Blog Search or Technorati. So I was wondering with the community, do they feel that trackbacks are still useful, and how do they use trackbacks to assist in their blog? And I guess some of the confusion was the difference between a trackback and a pingback. And some people thought it was a conspiracy that I was posting on trackbacks, and I don't know.
Well, for our audience out there who may not know what kind of lingo we're talking about here, I didn't know this, but I guess you said in the top of the post here that the company Six Apart was the people who created the trackback specification, and I thought that was pretty interesting. But essentially what a trackback is, when you create a blog post and you publish it on the internet and another blogger maybe wants to add to the conversation or maybe wants to disagree with it or links to it, that'll send a little message or, you know, I don't want to get confused with pingback. So, you know, first off, what is the difference between a trackback and a pingback? You know, Ronald?
Well, I know a trackback is done manually. You add a trackback manually to a post. I think pingback is kind of automatic.
Well, in any way, both of these work pretty similar, but it allows you to keep track of a conversation as it travels across the internet. So if any blog links to your post and wants to add conversation to it, add to the discussion, when they publish their post, it'll send a little message back to your blog saying, hey, this guy had something to say or he linked to your post. And so you go over to his site and you check out what he had to say and you can comment on his article. And he comes over and he comments on your article. And it's just a way of being able to track a conversation, a post, when it travels throughout the blogosphere. And you asked if trackbacks are still useful, and they are and they're not. I hate the fact that it's another tool that these spammers can use to try and get their links on my blog. I sift through a ton of pingback and trackback spam whenever I make a new post. But I do love the ability of, you know, the legitimate ones being able to track the conversation. But again, if in the dashboard I can see incoming links via through Technorati or through a Google blog search, then why would I need to publish the trackback with the associated link anyways on the blog? I mean, is that what you were getting at with the post?
Yes. I wanted to see what people thought, if they included trackbacks on their site or not.
Well, we'll go ahead and open it up to anybody else. I mean, anybody else has an opinion on as far as trackbacks go and their usefulness?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is that the content that actually gets displayed is pretty useless in a lot of cases because it's automatically derived. And so, the text that's displayed on the person's blog doesn't really add to the conversation. You have to link through. You have to read it all. You have to decide if it's relevant or not. And one of the things that I'm toying with is the idea of kind of manually editing the text that's sent through, so you can actually, you link back and say, this guy wrote something really interesting about this. You can actually edit that to say, actually, I don't agree with it, so that, effectively what you're doing is commenting remotely instead of just sending a small bit of your post, which may be taken in context or out of context or may quote something which isn't actually really that relevant.
That sounds rather interesting. I don't even know how, when a trackback or pingback is created, how does it know which section of text to include in the link? I don't understand that part. I mean, is it just random, or is there a model or a method to its madness?
I actually read about the trackback, how it works, and the difference is that the pingback is used when if you mention only a link to the other post. So let's say I wrote my article and somebody else mentions my post in his, like, links to my post, it's a pingback. I think it's automatically done by the WordPress. But then the trackback is when you write something similar or relevant to my article or a response, then you enter the trackback URL of my post so that I get notified that you have either added something or, like, responded to my thoughts or views. So, and the trackback works like this. It takes the excerpt from the point where the link is to my post. So it takes like 100 or 50 words to the front and reads to the back from the link. And so it gets around the point where you mention where you reference the original source. So that's how it works.
Which makes trackbacks from group projects pretty much, irrelevant. Pingbacks.
Well, I tell you what, it just it frustrates me that I have to delete one more thing that spammers can use to try and get their links on my blog. It's really annoying.
I actually think that trackbacks in general are very good, but like the idea underlying them, but currently, the implementation, when it gets thrown into the same list with comments, for example, and it has the excerpt, and like sometimes people don't even know that it's something different than the comment, and it gets really confusing. So I think that I have, like last week, I've seen pretty many articles written about how to separate the trackbacks from your normal comments. I think this much improves the purpose or idea that they are all in one place so that people understand that they can click on those links and it's going to be related to the article they've just read. And it shouldn't be just mixed it up in all one place. So it may be useful more then.
Well, Casper's, thanks for the segue. I mean, that's a perfect segue to something that I came across just a couple of days after that on WPCandy.com. And Chris Thompson, or known as Chris24, wrote up a interesting post on how to separate comments and trackbacks. Because what happens is, as Casper was referring to, the default implementation of trackbacks and pingbacks, they appear in the commenting section of a blog. And if you write a pretty popular or opinionated post, and a ton of other bloggers end up linking to you, all of that stuff gets into your comment section, and as a reader, it's hard to follow a conversation that's taking place on the blog because you have to wade through the links, the trackbacks, any of them are spam. So it's Chris provided a way, just using the regular WordPress code, editing the comments.php file. And he gives different examples as to what you would do with the code in order to separate the two. So comments can be in their own little box, and below that you would have an area for your trackbacks and pingbacks. which would make browsing through the comments a heck of a lot easier. And also, if you didn't want to do that, there's also a plugin you can use, and actually, I'll let Ronald talk about that plugin, because he is actually the author behind it. So, Ronald, if you want, go ahead.
All right. I'm about to release a plugin. It's called Comment Sorter. It should be released this weekend sometime. And unfortunately, it doesn't automatically separate track facts from comments. There isn't a clean way to do that without modifying template files. But for those who are fed up with having track facts within comments, you can actually turn track facts off for a post as a reader. And if you're a blog admin and you don't want TrackFacts to show up on your post, you can use a plugin to turn off TrackFacts for all your posts without modifying any template files.
So are you saying that, like on my blog, I don't do any separating? I could have a comment and then maybe a TrackFact and then a comment, and then a TrackFact. If I use your plugin, I could sort it to where I just see comments first, and then at the bottom it would be TrackFacts? Is that what it does?
No, you can actually set it up so you only see comments, no TrackFacts.
Oh, so you can actually disable TrackFacts from being viewed then?
Correct.
That's interesting. Well, that might even that might solve the problem of TrackFacts entirely, just not show them. Then you won't have to separate anything because all you have is comments.
I'm kind of somewhat fed up with TrackFacts, so I might just end up disabling them, period, on most of my blogs.
Well, apparently, because you're writing articles asking, you know, are they useful? you're trying to take TrackFacts and put them in their demise. But
well, one guy wrote in and said, hey, are you talking about the demise of TrackFacts? Why are you steering the readers towards this anti-TrackFacts thing? And I wrote him back and like, hey, I'm not trying to steer readers anywhere. I'm trying to ask them what their opinion is on the topic.
Well, I don't think it's the demise of TrackFacts. I think you raise an interesting point and an interesting question as to, you know, just how useful are they? I mean, you can figure out if somebody's linking to you via the dashboard, you know, the Technorati incoming links or the Google blog search. I mean, there's no need for a TrackFact link to show up on your blog. And plus, you know, these TrackFacts, they're being used by, you know, spammers and the like, so... You know, just maybe deleting the ability to see the TrackFacts means, you know, any of the spam that would be able to get through the Akismet filters would never show up on your blog. So, did you say you're getting ready to release that, or have you already released it?
I'll probably end up releasing it tomorrow sometime.
Well, when you do, go ahead and let me know. I have to do a little write-up for you, but... let's hear from somebody else. Anybody else out here that's called in, want to weigh in on this TrackFact issue, or maybe the subject of separating the two, or anybody have any thoughts or opinions on the on TrackFacts? Oh, empty crowd tonight. All right, so let me know when you release that plugin, and I'll go ahead and make a little post about it. But moving on. I came across some news yesterday, and if you live in, I hope I pronounced this right, Kazakhstan. Apparently, there's been a Google group that's been formed within the Kazakhstan area, and the Google group kind of explains how the WordPress software works, and these group of bloggers got together and translated WordPress into the Kazakh language, which is the native language of Kazakhstan. And, you know, I did a little write-up on this, and it was very hard for me not to say, yes, very nice, you know, kind of like the Borat, because I knew there was going to be commenters that were going to comment for me in the Borat language, and as it turns out, someone did. So I did a write-up of it, and as it turns out, WordPress.org is actually translated into 57 different languages, not counting the others category, and with this translation, that brings the total number up to 58, not counting the others category. So I found it really interesting that WordPress really does have international roots, and these people have got together on their own and translated WordPress for their locality. So anybody who was a native of Kazakhstan or speaks or reads Kazakh would be able to have their own little local version of WordPress now.
Now, you bring up a good point.
Sorry.
I absolutely just love the translators and the people who speak different languages that are willing to translate WordPress into other languages. And I've been fortunate with one of my plugins that there have been a lot of translators who have stepped up to the plate and said, hey, I like this in my language. Can I help you out?
Did somebody else was going to chime in?
Yeah, I was willing to say that a week ago they actually translated WordPress to Latvian as well, and I think WordPress provides actually the official a repository for the translations, and it's available at under a standard URL. It's lv.wordpress, either the language prefix .wordpress.org, I think, and yeah, so they translated. They took it started in last year December. And then 1 month, 2 months, they did it. So it's Latvian translation is available as well.
And I posted an article about this on weblogtoolscollection.com. There's actually an article on the WordPress.org codex titled, just do a search for WordPress in your language. And a list of all the translations that WordPress has been translated to. And it was quite the extensive list. Let me tell you. So moving on, we can't do this podcast about WordPress without talking about the new release, WordPress 2.3.3, which is a mandatory security release. I mean, this XML RPC bug is pretty big. WordPress 2.3.3 was released on February 5th. If you have registration enabled, a flaw was found in the XML RPC implementation such that a specially crafted request would allow a user to edit posts of other users on that blog. In addition to fixing that security flaw, 2.3.3 also fixed a couple of minor bugs, nothing too serious. They offered a security fix, so you can fix that version, or you could download the entire package and upload it to your site and upgrade your blog that way. And what's also interesting to note is that I did a little security bulletin on a plugin called WP Forum, and according to Ryan Boren, one of the major core developers of WordPress, the vulnerability in that plugin is actually being exploited, actively exploited right now. So no, I wrote that article on weblogtoolscollection.com about the vulnerability in the WordPress forum plugin. And because it was on this page, the WordPress development blog, I mean, my inbox was filled with 200 email messages the other day just from trackbacks and pingbacks, because everybody was using that section of the post to announce to their own little audience that a new version has been released. But, it's pretty cool. I upgraded within an hour of seeing the post in my feed reader, and it was a very, very simple upgrade. Nothing broke. It was no major changes. Everything went pretty smoothly. I imagine everybody else here is already upgraded, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
When you see a release like that, you have to upgrade. I remember seeing a post by Daniel from Daily Blog Tips, and he's saying, I'm very annoyed by all these periodic updates. And I'm thinking, hey, man, you better be thankful, because they could just leave it wide open.
Right. And there's a lot of people that complain about the how many times you have to update WordPress. But I mean, I don't think it's that bad. I think they come out with their major releases that contain features and bug fixes. And then in between those major releases, usually you have one, and in some cases, depending on the severity, maybe two security releases. But I mean, those security releases, they're not that hard to upgrade. They're just a couple changes in a file, or maybe just one change, such as what this one was. And it's not that bad. And hey, if you don't want to upgrade, if you only want to upgrade to the major version releases, you're just leaving yourself open for attack.
Yeah, and I use the WordPress automatic upgrade plugin, and it took about 20 seconds for each of my blogs to upgrade.
And, you know, speaking of the instant upgrade, I think that is being heavily pushed by the community to be integrated into the core. I mean, it might make it into 2.5. I'm not exactly sure on that yet, but there's been a lot of push to get that into the core.
I think someone else is going to chime in.
I think one of the problems is that, you know, WordPress is one of those things that's so easy to use that there's a lot of users who, you know, may have their own hosted version but aren't, you know, technical in any way. And I think every time an update comes out, there's kind of an automatic kind of feeling of, you know, what's going to go wrong this time, or, you know, what's not going to work, or is one plugin maybe not going to work. And I think maybe a lot of the people complaining about upgrades or updates, and maybe the less technical people are the people who, you know, if something goes wrong, they may be concerned that they don't actually know how to fix it or roll it back or whatever.
Yeah, I think it'd be awesome to have an upgrader built into WordPress, but I think the biggest problems they've been having with it is the security concerns of having some plugins or directories writable, and depending on the web server you're on and all kinds of other stuff. I think that's what's been holding it back. But you know what I hate upgrading? I'll admit it. Every time I go to my plugins page and I see about 10 beige colored boxes that says new version released, I'm like, ugh.
Sorry about that, Jeff.
I get that feeling like, oh, okay, upgrade this, upgrade that. That, you know, and that's one of the reasons that's inspired me to visit the Codex, and I've actually been checking up on things called functions within WordPress, because I've discovered that a lot of your plugins are just regular WordPress functions, but they allow you not to have to actually touch the code or hard code them into your theme or your blog. So I've been kind of trying to substitute some plugins for those functions, and it's been working out pretty nice.
Yeah, are you putting them in your functions.php file for your theme?
No, I don't know about any of that. I just, you know, take for instance the tags, the WP get tags function. I kind of just took that function, wrapped a div around it, and placed it in my my index page, you know, within the loop, so it shows the tags that are related to that post, you know, right on that page. I don't know if I'm supposed to put that in the functions.php file or not. I just put the function right into that page there, and it worked. I don't know if it's wrong or right, but it works.
Well, yeah, these are actually called the hooks.
Go ahead, Caspers.
Yeah, I wanted to say that these are called the hooks. That's what this is like the AIP they provide. So you can pass the arguments, and actually these are functions, yeah, but this is what they also call the hooks. It's just to get the lingo.
Okay, Ronald, you had something to say?
Oh, yeah, if you have a functions.php file in your main theme directory, WordPress will load it automatically. So you can put your function in there, your hooks in there, and it'll load automatically.
Now, see, you're starting to get a little above my head. I'm just now tinkering with this, and whew. I already thought that was cool, and now you're getting all this PHP on me. I'm going to have to...
Sorry.
You're like a PHP ninja over there, man.
Hey, man, me and Mr. Rickman over here.
Yeah. Well, moving on, we'll do the WordPress Weekly Digest from West End WordPress from January 28th to the 3rd of February, just highlighting some changes that have gone into WordPress 2.5. Some notable things this week is a tag searching interface for the tag editor. That'll be nice to search different various tags that you have in the WordPress database. The removal of any old compatibility functions for PHP 4.2 and 4.3. You guys will have to correct me if I'm wrong, but I know PHP themselves are going to stop supporting PHP 4, and they're going to move on to PHP 5, right? Is that this year?
That's in August, I think.
Yeah, this August. So, I mean, this might be some of these changes where they're removing these functions for 4.2 and 4.3. I mean, that might be for getting a head start as far as maybe being PHP 5 compliant. But I don't know. I'm not a coder. I'm just guessing. The i18n updates for the new widget interface, I haven't looked into that to know what that is. Changes to increase...
The i18n means internationalization. And I think this is going to be so that you can translate the heading of a widget as well if you use the multilingual, like a different language version of your WordPress.
Okay. Well, I understand that now. See, that's why I have these guys on my show, because I don't know everything. Also, there's been some changes to increase the memory limit for PHP. Addition of the Tiny MCE full screen plugin. So they've actually integrated the Tiny MCE full screen plugin. I guess it allows the full window within the right panel of your WordPress dashboard. You can use the full screen for your editor.
But you love that, Jeff.
I don't know. I use the draggy thing to increase my window size. I don't need that big of a editor window. Let's see, what else have they had? They updated Tiny MCE to version 3.0 final. So the Tiny MCE JavaScript that is inside of WordPress has actually been upgraded to 3.0 final now. So it'll be interesting to see how that looks in 2.5. And they also made some changes to allow for multiple database connections. And there's some other stuff on there, but those are the ones that caught my eye. Do any of these changes look promising to you guys? Have any of these changes kind of make your eyes or ears perk up?
What I noticed actually was the change about the is home template tag actually doesn't return true if you're using a static post, and so they've now created a new tag. I think the is front tag. So now you really got the option to choose whether if you're doing something maybe in a sidebar, if you only wanted it to appear if you put posts on the front page and didn't want it to appear if you use a static page, you now got that choice.
Interesting. Yeah, I see it right here. Introduction of a new template tag is_front with the parameter sign, which is only true on the front page of a WordPress install. So you're saying this would allow theme developers or anyone that wanted to use that function to really customize their front page?
Well, it's really problematic when you choose a different page to be on your home page instead of the standard WordPress homepage. I think that's what Andrew's trying to get at.
Yeah. If you just have posts, the same way as the default theme is set up, or the default settings, then you can use the is home tag, but that just won't work at all if you replace it with a different page. And if you say I want a static page here instead of my list of posts, that just wouldn't work. So instead of kind of changing the functionality of that tag, they've added a new one so that it doesn't break any existing themes.
Interesting. Well, it'll be interesting to see if who takes advantage of that. Maybe the Revolution theme, which heavily uses a static front page, the original Revolution theme. Maybe he can do some crazy things with that. But our last news item of the day, before we wrap it up with our WordPress tips of the week, Sony, the PlayStation.blog website, run by Sony, yes, the guys with the who did the Rootkit. That's how I know them. They released two plugins back to the community. Apparently, they're using the PlayStation.blog is actually a blog. They made a blog post that described how much they love WordPress and how awesome it's been to work with WordPress. And if they haven't been able to find a plugin, they've been able to easily create one to suit their needs. And they ended up creating two plugins that didn't exist beforehand, and they've released those to the community. And those two plugins, the first one is called Comment Replies. Think of it as a threaded response light. The description says, we wanted our authors to be able to respond directly to comments, but not create a completely threaded conversation. That's the purpose of Comment Replies. And, you know, when I thought about that, I thought about a plugin I downloaded called WP Easy Reply, which is basically the same thing. It doesn't do a threaded response, but it gives me a little link near the comment section that says reply, and when I click it, it automatically puts all the users' names who have commented before me or who have commented since I last commented or whatever, just puts the names automatically in the comment form so I can make detailed replies. And I've actually been able to modify that plugin to where it automatically puts in the at symbol and bolds the comma author's name. And if anybody, is looking for something like that, I'll be able to share that plugin with you, the modified version. But back to the Sony plugins, the second one they released is called Image Rotator. On the front page of the Sony blog, they have a graphic banner that rotates at the top to feature different items with a corresponding link. Initially, they created a simple manager on the back end, but then they realized... but then they quickly ported it over to a WordPress plugin. Just like the Comment Replies plugin, you can customize it to suit your needs. And I think that'll look really nice if you have, it's probably a real easy way to highlight posts via images. You might be able to do something like that, or maybe you can create a header image that changes using this plugin. So I don't know if you guys had a chance to check out those plugins, or do any of those sound interesting to you guys?
I've been looking at the plugins. I wish they had links to demos. I don't know. Is it on the PlayStation blog only?
Yeah, I tried to check out a preview of them, and they don't have previews. All I could find was download links, details and download links. There is no preview function.
Yeah, I think screenshots, they need some video, something that shows us how they work.
There are some screenshots on the... On the links, certainly the comment reply one's got a nice screenshot, which I think demonstrates what it looks like in the admin panel. But not to the theme itself.
Yeah, that's what I'm interested in, what it looks like to the user.
But, what I like about this situation is that here's a corporation, it's big, it's really big. I mean, it's Sony, and they have this blog, and they're using an open source... something that's free, and they've actually decided to, these guys probably hired some coders, and they know some coders, they have coders within their organization that, came up with these plugins, and I think it's really cool that they've released at least two of these plugins back to the community. It was their way of giving back, and, I think that's a good example for everyone to follow, especially... it's just something nice to see that a corporation like that would give back.
So, we are talking about Sony here, who gives back in certain ways, like the rootkit.
Oh, come on now. That was an accident.
Oh, yeah, it's an accident. Right.
Yeah. that was our last story of the day. We're going to go ahead and go down the list here with our WordPress tips of the week. And my tip this week is going to be the WordPress Codex. You can actually find the WordPress Codex at codex.wordpress.org. And what the Codex is, it's a repository of information that deals with WordPress.org. We're talking about documentation, information related to creating plugins, functions, parameters for plugins. Just about anything you need to find as far as support or help goes, you can always check the Codex first. It's almost like a wiki run by the community of WordPress folks, and there's all kinds of awesome documentation and help on here. And I actually used it the other day to find all the information for the get tags function, and everything that was on there was right and correct, and it's just a really awesome, good resource to use if you're having any trouble with WordPress. So with that being said, I'll go ahead and let Andrew give his tip of the week.
Yeah, I mean, really what I want to look at with this is a post that that Matt posted about problems he was having with Dreamweaver.
Yeah, I read
that. Yeah, I saw your comment on there actually, and one of the one of the things a lot of people said is that, you know, they're still using Dreamweaver 8, but one person commented and actually linked to the editor, which I think you said you were using,
yes, Aptana.
Yeah, and I've downloaded that and given it a try, because I mean I generally use Dreamweaver 8, and actually this editor actually feels really nice, and it's got a nice search functionality and works really quite easily. I mean, it's not 100%, and it doesn't include everything that Dreamweaver has, but you know, as an editor, it feels pretty good. It's you know, it's Java, so it's cross-platform. And I just wanted to point to that and suggest everyone who's, you know, developing for WordPress, you know, gives it a look.
Yeah, I use that Aptana editor, and the only thing I really don't like about it, there's too many updates. But, you know, that's just every time I open the thing, it wants me to install it. Every time I open it up. Ronald, what do you got this week?
My tip is going to be for theme authors to provide a file in addition to the comments file that allows you to separate your trackbacks from your comments and allow an option in your theme admin panel to say, do you want to separate comments from trackbacks or do you want to use a default setup? That's my tip of the week.
So your tip is to, for theme authors, you want like themes to have built-in functionality where the user can choose whether to separate trackbacks and comments from each other. Was that it?
That's correct, because I don't think users should have to go through the template files and edit them in order to separate trackbacks from comments. I think the theme author should take the lead in developing that functionality.
You know, that'd be pretty nice. Thank you for that, and let's see here. Caspers, I brought you on here. I know you've got a little plugin you'd like to share. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah. Okay, so I've created a new plugin. This is my first plugin after having created three themes already, which are available at my website, which I'm going to tell you later about. But the plugin I want to plug here is the custom functions widget plugin, which is basically something like the exec PHP plugin. But so the idea is that many of the plugin authors don't offer you the sidebar widgets. They offer only the function hooks. So it means that if you want to use the functionality of the plugin, you have to edit the template files. And this is often frustrating for many of the users who are not so savvy and don't know what PHP is, especially if they get the error messages and suddenly something is not being displayed anymore just because they've put the raw PHP inside the template file. So this plugin offers by default five widgets where you can set the name of the function which you want to execute, like from the other plugin you've downloaded, and pass the arguments. So for example, very famous the popularity contest plugin by Alex King, he doesn't offer a widget as well. But he offers three function hooks. Which enables you to display the most popular posts on your blog, so in a sidebar. But you need to enter the PHP. So instead of editing the template, you would install this plugin, pass the function name, and give the arguments. And here you go. You have a widget with the output that would be normally could be achieved only by editing the template files, and it's available at my website as well.
That is awesome. That is awesome. What if, Ronald, as a fellow plugin developer, how does that sound to you? What do you think of that?
Allowing the users to add plugin functionality without having to edit template files, I think, is awesome.
Well, hey, if Rhino thinks it's awesome, it must be awesome. Andrew, I know you're also deal with that deal with the code. What do you think of that? You said it was a very cool plugin in the chat.
Yeah, I saw the
you would see for it.
Well, I saw the notification of it, you know, and I thought it was a great idea. Yeah, I mean, really, any plugins that are going to add, you know, lists of things, or I guess, you know, you got some plugins which put in you know, advert code, or I mean, really, there's so many uses for it, and I mean, that's what makes it so good.
Yeah, and like as a follow up, I have already developed another one, which is called tabbed widgets. Yeah, so basically, this one will allow you to use other widgets and put it into another one single widget, which you can have tabs navigation. So it means, for example, in one widget you can have recent articles, popular posts, an advertisement, and, for example, a list of tags. And this is already available. You can see that on my website. It's working there. And it uses the jQuery, the JavaScript library, but it allows some different configuration as well, which means that, for example, you can have them rotating and have a random tab being set open by default when the user opens your page. So it means they get all your content gets enough attention in those tabs.
What's your JavaScript library?
Sorry?
What's JavaScript library does it use?
It's the default, but the version is upgraded. What's the
jQuery prototype?
jQuery, yeah.
Okay, I love jQuery. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, but the problem is that by default, the current version of supplied by the WordPress, I think, is two versions below the latest one. So I had to, like, upload that one as well and supply it with the plugin.
Well, let me just say that is the type of plugin I've been looking for. That is freaking awesome because... are you talking about functionality where it functions like if you've ever seen the WordPress premium theme, they have a tabbed area, and if you click on the tab, there's a search box, and if you click on the other tab, it shows a tag cloud. It's like three widgets in one. Is that pretty much what you're talking about?
Exactly, but now this won't be hard-coded into the template, into the theme. This is, you can add this one to any blog. This uses your theme settings for the widgets, and it even degrades nicely. For example, as an example, if you put the recent and popular widgets into this tab one, into this single one, then if you don't have the JavaScript enabled, you will still see like two widgets just below each other. It uses the default wrapper around that widget, which is set by your theme. So it should be working on any theme, and you can achieve the same effect they have on different other themes in any of the existing already.
Nice. So what you're saying is you pretty much just have the framework and the functionality, and you don't have to you haven't styled it with any type of CSS or classes, because if you did that, you'd kind of be forcing your plugin to only look good on certain themes that matched up with those classes, right?
Exactly, and this is also not a good practice to interfere with a theme, how the author has thought it should look like. So you're supplying a plugin that works nicely with how the rest of the site should work. It shouldn't imply any add extra CSS or spacing, have different spacing which doesn't look like it's meant to be there. So it's good that WordPress allows enough hooks and enough functions that I can use to create another plugin which uses all the functionality, all the default settings used by the rest of the system.
Now, have you? I know you said it's a widget, and that means people can use it if they have a widget-enabled theme. But have you created a function so that type of that widget can be hard-coded into somewhere in the theme, and it still provides the functionality as if it were a widget in a widget sidebar? Or is it
widgets?
Yeah.
No, I haven't currently thought about it, no. Because the whole idea is that you make by simply... No, You currently you have to go through the admin panel and then you can drag. But I think you can install the sidebar or was it the widget something extension on the older versions? I'm not sure, but I have tested with the ones that have the widgets already enabled with those WordPress versions.
Okay, well that I tell you what, that's I think that plugin right there, what you're talking about, is going to be very popular because I've seen things like that on the new theme that was released. It's called WordPress Premium, and I just love the fact that it had so much information in such a little area, and you just click tabs, and you could see all kinds of different information, and it was just really nice and clean. So you can bet that I'll be one of the first to be downloading that and installing it and probably doing a write-up on it. So thanks for that.
That's great.
We'll be checking out your other plugin, too.
Yeah, thank you.
So that's awesome. Rob White, if you're still here on the phone, if you haven't fallen asleep yet, he's the host of the Two Beams podcast training talkcast, which you can hear every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Rob, you still there?
I sure am.
Hey, as a user of WordPress, do you have any tips, any one tip that you could probably give to any newcomer to WordPress or maybe an article you've come across or anything like that?
Definitely listen to your show. That's the best tip I can give.
Oh, man, way to go, yeah. The check is in the mail.
I've been sitting here during your show going through all the different things that you told me on my show an hour ago and installing some of the plugins and things like that we talked about, and I'm having a blast here. So you got a lot of great information here.
Well, thanks, Rob. I really appreciate that. And a lot of that information comes from our guests that appear on the show here. And we're going to go ahead and close up shop here because we're pretty much done with the show. Andrew Rickman, where can we find some of your work? Where do you hang out during the week when you're not here fighting sleep on Friday nights or maybe it's Saturday morning?
You can find my blog at wp-fun.co.uk. Pretty much everything I do is on there.
Okay. Hey, thank you for being part of the show tonight.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And Caspers, where can we find the what URL can
yeah.
we go to
so
check out those plugins?
It's constructors.com, but it's spelled like in Latvian, so it means you replace the C's with K's. So it's constructors.com/blog, and you simply replace the first. It's not C, but it's K, and further on as well, and yeah, and with an S.
That's kind of Web 2.0-ish, you know, replacing the C with a K.
No. This is my native language. That's why I used it because the English one was already taken by some spam blog or something.
Okay, that's cool. I'll add that to the show notes so everybody knows where to go. And thanks for being part of the show tonight, and maybe you can make it to some future episodes. And I'm really looking forward to checking out both of those plugins you've created tonight.
Thank you for inviting me, and I hope I'm going to be able to come on other episodes as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope your Skype bill isn't astronomical.
No, it was something like €1 or maybe less even.
Okay. Oh, you have a good morning there.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. It's still dark outside.
And Ronald, what's going on with you? Where can we find your postings? Where do you hang out during the week?
You can find me at raproject.com, weblogtoolscollection.com, and my personal website, ronalfi.com.
Is it Ronalfi? Because when I read it, I think it's Ronalfi.
Well, it's Ronald plus Alfie, so Ron Alfie.
Ron Alfie. That seems kind of funny. Alfie? Kind of like alfalfa. I don't know.
When I was in high school, people called me alfalfa. That's why.
Ron alfalfa. Boy,
yeah,
that just sounds weird.
Yeah,
all right.
So it up.
Yeah, so enough name butchering tonight. Rob, thanks for coming on the show. It was awesome being part of your show. I mean, the hour just flew by. I just kept talking and talking, and I wouldn't stop, and you barely had a chance to ask me questions. But I really appreciate you asking me to be a part of your show, and I hope I you know, gave you and your listeners some good tips, some help. You're welcome to be on the show anytime here. And why don't you go ahead and give a little plug for your show?
Oh, and thanks for being on my show tonight, and thanks for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it. It's Podcaster Training from Two Beams. It's a show ID 16829 every Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on TalkShoe. And so feel free to join us, and we always have a great time, and we'll have Jeff back sometime too. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, we'll see if I get that check first. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
All right, then with that, folks, this concludes episode 5 of WordPress Weekly. Tune in next week at the same place, same time for episode 6. Until then, have a good weekend, everybody.